Hello and welcome to Tony Broom Ministries. Here's a teaching session from the book of the Revelation, chapter 21 and the first part of chapter 22. The title of our session this time is The New Jerusalem. Thank God for that holy city that will come down from heaven from God, the New Jerusalem. The saints will live and reign with Jesus Christ for eternity. We have that promise in God's Word that lets us know without a doubt that He has a place prepared for us. Jesus said, "You believe in God already, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." We have the promise from Jesus himself that he will go and prepare us a place where we can go and be with him forever. Our golden text verse is Revelation chapter 21, verse 2. "I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." This will be a beautiful city. Sometimes I might say will be, and sometimes I might say is. Sometimes I may even say was, because John saw it. He saw it in the present tense, yet we know its future. And when we look back on what John saw, we say it was. But when we think about it, where we're going to be there one day, we will say it will be. So all of the tenses are correct. It was and is and shall be. That's the way our God is. We serve a God who is, a God who was, and a God who always shall be. Let's talk about the bride of the Lamb. This is the first 10 verses of Revelation chapter 21. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." The Psalms tell us that the earth abideth forever. It will never pass away. And yet the Word of God tells us, Isaiah the prophet talks about it in the latter chapters of his book, "Behold, I make new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not come into mind." Well, how in the world can both of these be true? Because God is true, and everything he says and does is true. Yes, the earth that we have right now is the same earth that God created, the same earth that was before the flood, and the same earth that is after the flood. Didn't God destroy the world? Well, he did in a way that you're thinking, but not in the way that I'm thinking. The earth. God did a work on this earth, and he renovated it. He purified it. He did away with all the old sin and violence and all the people and the animals. And he saved Noah, of course, and the animals that were with him and his family in the ark. And now we have a generation today because of that. The same heaven and earth which are now are preserved. Peter tells us about this in 2 Peter chapter 3. It is preserved and kept for the fire and the judgment that is to come. And God will take this earth that we know now. The heavens will be rolled back like a scroll. And he will wipe this earth clean. The elements will melt with fervent heat. And everything will be made over. In fact, John says it here. "I saw a new heaven, new earth. The first heaven and first earth were passed away. There was no more sea." You don't need the sea now because sea is the place of marine life and a beautiful place. But now we have such a more beautiful place. It's taken up by people and taken up by angels and taken up by the ones who worship and serve God. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Just like there was an old Jerusalem, there will be a new Jerusalem. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. This city, somehow, and God will make it where the atmosphere, everything will be right, and this new Jerusalem will come down. Some of the scholars, many of them think that it will sit and somehow suspense in the air over the old Jerusalem. Israel is promised their land. We do know that. And we do know that they will inherit their land forever. God said that to Abraham, and he said that to Israel. They are promised their land. You and I are promised a land that is fairer than day. And by faith I can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. This is the new Jerusalem. Thank God for the old Jerusalem. It's very important. It is the capital of Israel. Thank God for a president that will acknowledge Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Jerusalem is also the center of the kingdom. It is a center for the kingdom that is to come. Jerusalem, as it were, is the central capital of the world. Not Washington, D.C., not Moscow, not London, but Jerusalem is the capital of the world. And Jerusalem is situate among the nations. The Bible tells us that. To this wonderful place, we will go one day, the new Jerusalem. But the old Jerusalem is important because it is a city of the great king. Jesus himself dwelt there, and he died outside of the city of Jerusalem. And now, in the old Jerusalem, that same Jerusalem that people are squabbling about today, and all the nations of the world have their eyes on Israel and they don't like to admit it, that same old Jerusalem, if you want to call it that, Jesus will come back one day to the Mount of Olives outside of Jerusalem, and he will rule and reign in Jerusalem on David's throne for 1,000 years. When that 1,000 years has expired, then all these things will be made over, the heaven, the earth. And John sees this holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, and it's prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. It is a beautiful city. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." We know God now. We have a personal relationship with God, and I trust that every one of you do. And we can know him intimately, we can know him personally, but it's nothing like that day when we get together with him and there's no separation. Even the physical separation will be taken away. And God himself will tabernacle with us. God will be our God and we will be his people. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. We won't sit around the throne and tell Jesus all of my troubles and tell him all of my trials and all the things that's going on so bad that happened to me. Oh, get real, Lucille. Good God Almighty. We ain't going to worry about that. We're going to praise God throughout the ages of eternity. You're not going to sit up there and tell Jesus all about your troubles. And I know there's songs written about that. And I like those songs. They're good songs. But that's just what they are. They're songs. They're not meant to be biblical doctrinal statements. They're just songs. Some old country girl sung, some old boy sung. That's all right. Made a few bucks, I suppose. But when you get real down to the nitty-gritty, where the rubber meets the road, you're talking about all these things, the tears, the pain, the sorrows, all these things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Praise God, what a day that will be. And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And that's a good reason to write, because what God says is true and his word is faithful. He said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." That's the A and Z of our alphabet, the Alpha and Omega of the Greek alphabet. I am He. I'm the beginning. I'm the end. It's done. And Jesus said on the cross, it's finished. And now, even beyond the cross, God said, it is done. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. There's your offer of salvation. I will give you that free, living water of life. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We are overcomers. And if you overcome, you don't have to worry about getting your share. You're going to inherit all things. He who overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, this gives us a picture of those who do not serve God, the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The first death is when we die physically. The second death is that separation from God, and nobody wants to be a part of that awful place where you go and you burn forever. There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials or bowls full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Oh, what a sight it's going to be. So he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And he sees this beautiful city that is described as being lightened with the glory of God, clear as crystal, like a jasper stone, most precious. There are 12 gates of pearl, 3 on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall is of jasper, built upon 12 foundations of precious stones. The city lies 4 square, being about 1,500 miles in every direction. The length and breadth and height of it are equal. 1,500 miles wide, high, long, every which way you want to go. New Jerusalem is truly a city of gold. The last part of verse 21 says that the street of the city is a pure gold like transparent glass. And the light of that city is going to be a wonderful thing, because a Lamb is the light thereof. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Now there's a temple in heaven, and the book of the Revelation, in chapter 4, in the earlier part of the book, talks about the temple, and the Ark of the Testimony was seen in heaven. But now in this new Jerusalem, the city that comes down from God out of heaven, we don't need a temple, we don't need a church, because Jesus is a temple. The Lord God is a light, and he is a temple. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. What a time that city will be illuminated with the light and the glory of God. Did you ever think about the time when God said, Light be, and light was? And he created the sun a day or two later. So what was the light before the sun was even created? It was the same light that will lighten the heavenly city forever and ever, where you and I will dwell. The light of the Lamb, the light of the glory of God, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of this city. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. It will pale, their kingdom, their splendor will pale in comparison of the light and glory of this city. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to go to that new Jerusalem, You have to be saved. You have to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have to be more than a church member. You have to be more than a money giver. You have to be more than just a religious person. You have to be a saved person. And even if you can't get to church, and even if you don't have any money, you can still go to that New Jerusalem because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He showed me, chapter 22, verse 1, He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. You're talking about power waters. You're talking about living waters. This pure river of water of life, with a sparkling river of water of life proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of it, the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. In the beginning, there was a tree of life in the midst of the Garden of Eden. There was also another tree there. God said, "You will not eat of that tree. The day that you eat of it, you will surely die." That was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, that's the one we had to eat off of. And then the concern was, we got to get him away from the tree of life, lest he takes part of it and lives forever. And we don't want to live forever in the condition we were in. We could not, because God said we would die. So we were separated from God. We were separated from the garden. We were certainly kept away from the tree of life. But now in the end, thank God, the tree of life is seen again. There in the midst of the city. There on either side of the river. There the tree of life, which yielded 12 manner of fruit, and she yielded her fruit every month. That is, each month there's a different kind of fruit. Now, you don't have to have fruit to live, but certainly you can have it to enjoy, and it's there. Each month will have a different type of fruit, and even the leaves of the tree are said to be for the healing of the nations. Don't tell me that God doesn't heal. God healed in the book of Genesis. He's healed all throughout the Bible. He still heals today. And even in a perfect setting of the New Jerusalem, that tree of life, the leaves of the tree, will be for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. All the curse is taken away. Jesus Christ became a curse for us, and He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And one of these days, even the very curse of this earth, the very curse of sin, the very curse of death, all of it will be taken away. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face. When it says His servants shall serve Him, now we serve Him now. We love Him, we serve Him, we work for Him. We do what we can to get the gospel out. But in that day, when it says His servants shall serve Him, we will serve Him. We won't have to work. We won't have to worry. We won't have to toil and labor. All of the toil and labor and the worry and work will be over. And we may work and do things in His kingdom, in His universe, but I'll let other people talk about that. What I would like to say about Him serving God, His servants shall serve Him. How will we serve Him? We'll praise Him. While the ages roll, I'll keep on praising Him. And my voice will never tire or grow old. And my song shall ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me. And I'll sing it while ages shall roll. We will see His face. Man cannot see the face of God now and live. But in that day we will be able to see. There'll be no face masks. There'll be no covering. There'll be no shame. All of that will be done away. We will see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. Instead of having the mark of the beast in your forehead, you have the name of the Lamb, the name of God in your forehead. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Praise God, He is the light. The Lamb is the light in that wonderful city. And the Lamb gives an invitation. Verse 12 of chapter 22. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. The Lamb, Jesus Christ, is coming. and he will reward everyone according to their works. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That takes care of everything. He's everything. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. If you want to have entrance into this city, if you want to have right to the tree of life, you have to do what he says. Not just say, Lord, Lord. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without, on the outside of this city, are dogs. And that's not the four-legged kind either. Might include those, but it's not the four-legged kind. It's those two-legged kind. You have to watch out in Washington. You have to watch out in local government. They'll spin your yarn and shoot your line. You have to watch out for them. But he said, without, on the outside of this city, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Several times in this passage, he tells us about those who will not make it to heaven. He classifies and categorizes them and tells us about who they are and what they do. There's no question about it. If you want to go to heaven, you got to love God. You got to live right and serve God. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. He is not only the root, that's where it all comes from, but he's the offspring, that's what comes from it. I want you to tell the churches. I want the churches to preach it, teach it to the world. I have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star, and he shines brighter than the sun. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit says, come. The Holy Spirit says, come. The bride, the church, says, come. Here's the invitation to come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. There's no doubt and no mistaking about this invitation to come. Come and be saved. Come and be healed. Come and be blessed. Come and be sanctified. Come and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Come and let me talk and walk with you. Let me have fellowship with you. I'm standing on the outside of the door of your heart, and I'm knocking. If any man will open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. And we close with verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. And we cry out with the Apostle John, even so come, Lord Jesus. My friend, do you know the Lamb of God? Do you know the Lamb of God? Do you have a relationship with God? Do you know that you're going to this new Jerusalem? Do you know without a doubt that heaven is going to be your home? You might say, well, I try to live right. I try to do good. No, that's not it. You can know it. You can be absolutely sure that Jesus Christ abides and dwells in your heart. And I encourage you today, if you have not made Jesus Christ your Lord and received him as your Savior, I encourage you to do that now. Do it right now. All you have to do is repent of your sins. Tell him that you're sorry for your sins. Father, I confess that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I confess that I've been walking away from you and I need to come back to you. I need to renew my vows. I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. Whatever you need today, you just tell him in your own words. Ask him to forgive your sins. Make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I rejoice with you today in your salvation. I rejoice that you make Jesus your Lord and your Savior. If you have decided to follow Jesus, if you have received him as your Savior and Lord, get in touch with us. www.tonybroom.com. Go to the contact page. Fill out the little form there that will allow you to email us. Tell us about your decision to follow Jesus Christ. If you'd like to get our email devotional every week, if you're not getting it, please sign up for it. All you got to do is just let us know that you'd like to have the email. We're on Zoom. And when we're not on Zoom on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, we record these sessions ahead of time. We put them on the ministry blog and podcast page and also the YouTube channel. We want to get the Word of God out any way that we can. Appreciate your prayers for the ministry. But most of all, we're getting ready to go to that heavenly city. The New Jerusalem has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.